Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin, Lord God, but became sin unto death on the cross. We thank you, Lord God. And we praise your holy name. Speak, Lord God, for we are listening. Speak a word, Lord, of hope, a word of peace. Lord God, as we stand here today, we think of the people of Ukraine, God. God, we are not taking political sides, God, because that's unimportant to the death of the death of those who don't even know what's going on, the children, the elderly, the mothers and the fathers, Lord God. Lord, the people who are praying, the Christians who are praying there in Ukraine, praying in the subways, asking you, Lord, to intervene. God, intervene, we beseech you today in the name of Jesus. God, let there be peace, God Almighty. We just came out of COVID. We're not even completely out of COVID-19. And now, Lord God, these folks are going through terrible things, death and destruction, Lord God. Holy God, what has happened to humanity? You created us in your own image, Lord God, and yet we are destroying, God, what you've given us, destroying each other. Have mercy, Lord God. I pray today on those people in Ukraine and on us, God, that we will be better to each other than we are. Help us, Lord God. Help us. And speak now, Lord, for we are listening. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, because you are refuge and our strength. You are Savior and our Lord. Amen. Oh Lord God, here we are. We are asking for your holy God, for you to intervene on our behalf, on the behalf of all those people, Lord. Have mercy. Have mercy. And so as we come to the scriptures today, it is Transfiguration Sunday. And we are celebrating or remembering again Jesus Christ and is on the mountaintop. Today we read two scriptures, both about encountering the divine or a divine encounter. The Old Testament tells us of Moses' divine encounter with God. Moses, scripture tells us that Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking to God. Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking to God. And in the Gospel of Luke, on this Transfiguration Sunday, we read, about eight days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, a little bit what I was telling the children, and went up on a mountain to pray. You know, Jesus is a praying Savior. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. A connection between Moses and Jesus. The connection, right? You would see on the Mount of Transfiguration that Moses and Elijah was both there, right? And you know that both Moses and Elijah did not die the way we normally, human beings die. Elijah was caught up in a chariot of fire, right? God took up Elijah. And Moses, after he saw the promised land, the Lord took him and he saw the promised land, he disappeared. God took him, and they have never been able to find the bones of Moses. And so he was caught up to meet the Lord. Amen? And so what an amazing connection. It's a glimpse for us of that they died, both of them, in essence, hadn't died, but here they were reappearing, as you hear the children's story, reappearing from heaven. And how could these stories not be so, you know, when folks try to tell us otherwise? But then we don't have to worry about it because we choose to believe. Amen? Next slide. What is encounter? Friends, encounter is a chance meeting, a particular kind of meeting or experience with another person, an encounter, a coming into the vicinity of a celestial body, right? You've come, you've seen something divine, you've encountered it. Encounter, we have human encounters, but today we're talking about what? Divine encounters. And then encountering is the present participle, that means now, right? The meeting of someone unexpectedly, right? Unexpectedly. And so we see Moses will be encountering God and also the disciples. Divine means relating to or proceeding directly from God. Relating to or proceeding directly from God. Thus Moses would be encountering the divine in the Exodus text. Right? Moses went in to talk to God. Moses had gone up to the mountain. He had got the covenant. He had the stones, you know, he had the commandments on the stones. He encountered God, and what an amazing story that when he went in to speak to God, he did not wear the veil. But when he came out to speak to the people, he took the veil off because they could not look at his face. The skin on his face was shining. So when we have a divine encounter, something different must happen to us. Moses did not know that the skin of his face was shining, but he was changed and transformed by his encounter with the divine, with God. And the same thing must happen to us, friends, right? And we can encounter God through the music. We encounter God through the preached word. We encounter God through reading the scriptures. We can encounter God as human beings in our own sphere. I do not believe it is as easy to encounter God when we are home. I think the sanctuary and the coming together ushers in a place and a time where we can encounter God. Because I would hope that when we come here, we are focusing on God, on Jesus Christ, on his presence. And so therefore Moses would know that our God is, I want to use three characters of God here in this moment. Our God is number one, omnipotent, right? He is omnipotent. That means having unlimited power or authority. We never have to wonder whether God is able to handle our situation. Because he is what? He has unlimited, God has unlimited power and authority. Amen? He is omnipotent, having unlimited power or authority and authority. He can do all things but fail, our God. Number two, our God is omnipresent. Present everywhere at the same time. We never have to be out of the reach of God. We are never out of the reach of God. Isn't that amazing to realize that? We are never out of the reach of God. He's everywhere at all times, having unlimited power and authority. That's the God we worship, our God. And then the third point, our God is omniscient, having infinite awareness, understanding, and insight. Therefore, God has the answers to all our problems and is able to give perfect guidance for every situation. Amen? So when you hear, there are times when I'm praying, especially when I'm online, and I'm praying and I'll say, oh God, oh omnipotent God, oh omniscient God, I am saying to God, I know that you're all these things, God Almighty. Do we have to use these words? No, we don't have to. You know, we understand that our God is everywhere. That means our God is right here with us. And whether we like it or not, our God is with the folks online. They may not be here, but God is with them, right? They choose to usher in God. God is with them. And Moses would understand that. Moses would understand that because Moses knew when the children of Israel were in trouble coming through the wilderness, that the Lord would put a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day to protect them from the enemy. I tell you, we serve a mighty God. Right? God would protect them by putting that pillar of fire. No one could penetrate it. I read this little reflection where it says, the effect of seeing God. The writer says, what's the natural response when you're seeing God? You are convicted of sin when you see God. Woe is me, for I am undone. Who would say that? Isaiah. Isaiah, when he saw God, God was speaking to him, he says, woe is me, for I am undone. If God was to show up here, first of all, and show up in this place, we wouldn't be able to look at him, right? We would be on our bellies with our face into the ground if he so allow it. And we would be crying out, woe is me, I'm undone. And the closer I walk with God, the writer says, the more quickly I feel my sin and realize how much I need God. It's like a huge mirror with a great big light over it. Very good analogy. He says, when we stand away from the mirror, things look pretty good. When we stand away from God, right? He says, suit looks good. Suit looks in order. The tie looks straight. The hair looks good. What's left of it is combed. But as you begin to move towards the mirror, things begin to show up. That means as you start moving closer to God, amen, you start seeing things that you didn't know. He says the suit has a spot on it. The tie is a little bit wrinkled. The hair is out of place. The closer we get to God, the closer we get to the bright light, the more we realize our defects. It's the same way when we get close to God. When we get close to Him, we realize how much we need Him and how far we are from Him. We are convicted of our sin the closer we get to God. Amen? You see, folks do not believe. Nobody wants to use the word sin. What is sin? Sin is what? Separation from God, right? Sin, because we do things out of the will of God. We shouldn't be so concerned about the word sin, but be happy that there is forgiveness of sin. So no matter what we have done, we could always seek forgiveness and the Lord will forgive us. Let's not dwell on sin. Let's dwell on the gift of forgiveness right? That when we draw close to God, as it says in James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you and me. Flee the devil and draw near to God. And Moses knew that. Moses had his challenges. You know, he had sinned against God. I remember Moses had killed a man when he was in captivity, but God would forgive him. And then Moses was in a deep relationship with this omnipotent God. Can you imagine that God could be so awesome and so powerful, yet God would consider us to have conversation with us? And so on that day on that mountain, Moses knew. We know the story when Moses came down off the mountain, right? It's not today, I'm not going to talk about that, but we knew what he found. He had gone up to the mountain, and those people had forgotten God and started to what? Do all kinds of things outside of the will of God. But God would yet forgive them. Many of them would die, but God would yet forgive a remnant. Amen? That is God. Next slide. And now we go and we look at encountering Jesus. We know that Jesus is God in flesh. But one encounter with Jesus Christ is enough to change you instantly forever. One encounter. When you're willing, one encounter with Jesus Christ. I'm telling folks who have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I always say, you really have not encountered him. Because if you allow yourself to encounter him, guess what? You will be changed. The next slide. What does a mountain symbolize in the Bible? The mountain is thought to contain divine inspiration. Right? That's the image of it. That's a metaphor. It's like you're going higher, right? You're going beyond the skies. You're going into God's presence. That's what it symbolizes, going to the mountaintop. Jesus took them to the mountaintop. Moses went to the mountain, right? To meet God, right? It symbolizes the divine inspiration. It is universal. It is a universal symbol of the nearness of God as it surpasses ordinary humanity. When you think of mountain, you know, Psalm 121, right? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, unto the mountains. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth, right? It is the idea that you're being lifted up out of your humanness, out of that human space, beyond the skies, beyond that we cannot. We don't know where it is. We know it's outside of us. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me shall neither slumber nor sleep. Just to be out of our natural humanness. So can we experience, next slide, can we experience mountaintop? Right? Can we, you and I, experience a mountaintop in our life? Can we? Yes. Yes, we all can. And I'll give you an example. I used to come out of a church. I came out of a church, an AME church, African Methodist Episcopalian. And they used to have huge woman ministry. They still do, I would imagine. And they would have a huge woman retreat, many, many women, you know, more than we ever, many women. And they had a men's retreat. Men's retreat for the men, women's retreat. And I tell you, you would go away to that retreat, and it's as if you forget all your problems, because the singing was so high. The preaching was so, you know, deep, you know. You know, some, you know, deep that would cut at things, and there would be liturgical dancing, and there'd be worship and music. And I tell you, you felt like you would be, I'll speak for myself, I felt like I was what? out of myself, as if you could touch the Holy Spirit. Women were crying. I'm sure it happens to the men in there, but we don't go to the men's retreat. Women were crying. You felt like every burden you carried was lifted up, was taken away, and that you were in the presence of the Holy Spirit. A mountaintop experience. And that's why when we came back from the retreat, oftentimes people were so low afterwards, and we didn't want to leave. And then you come back the day when we're coming back, people in buses and car, you would hear people say, "I'm so down," because they're coming back, you're leaving that moment that you think you're right at the feet of Jesus, and everything is all right. Mountaintop experience. Can we have it? Yes. And we could have it in this church in our own when we what? Open ourselves up to the Lord and we surrender to God. We surrender our will and our way. Scripture tells us in Luke 9:35, "Then from the cloud came a voice that said, 'This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him.'" Friends, God said there on the mountaintop, after those three brothers, Peter, James, and John wanted, especially Peter, wanted to build a house and all of that and stay there. Guess why they wanted to stay there? They didn't want to come off the mountain. They wanted to stay there. They're just like us because it was so awesome. Peter says, "Can't we build 2-3 dwellings here?" He just wanted to stay there with Elijah and Moses. Oh, glory to God. I would want to stay there too. I have been to the mountain of Transfiguration. It's way up. Jesus and those men, they could walk, I'm telling you. But they get you a little tiny cabin. We are small in numbers, and it's going all the way up to get there. But those men, they walked it. And you stand there and you say, "This is where the Lord was." We don't know the exact spot. It is awesome. And then God said, "Listen to him." And he's telling us that today. We must listen to Jesus. We want our own mountaintop experience. We need to listen to him. Amen? Listen to his word. Listen to what he tells us. Listen to his word. Another writer talks about the dashboard Jesus. The dashboard Jesus. And I'll read. It's not up there. He says, "For about $5, you can buy a 4-inch plastic bobblehead Jesus that bounces on a metal spring and adheres firmly to the dashboard of your car." Have you ever seen those? Yes, I've never seen it, but it just bobbles, and it's a picture, it's a thing of Jesus. One advertisement for this product says, "You can stick him where you need forgiveness, and he will guide you through the valley of gridlock." They're talking about Jesus. The dashboard Jesus has become a cultural phenomenon. In the song "Plastic Jesus," Billy Idol sings, "With my plastic Jesus, goodbye, and I'll go far. With my plastic Jesus, sitting on the dashboard of my car." Your plastic Jesus. Paul Newman sang it in the movie Cool Hand Luke. And the words begin, "Well, I don't care if it rains or freezes, as long as I have my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car." Right? These things are sacrilegious to me, you see. But it's music, right? It's art, they say. To lots of people, Jesus, church, and Christianity are cultural trappings, but not life-changing realities. They're just cultural trappings. Author Josh McDowell warns that many people today see Jesus like a plastic statue on a car dashboard. smiling, robed, a halo suspended above his head. But that superstitious or sentimental view of Jesus is a myth. Jesus of Nazareth was no plastic saint. He's a real world kind of savior. It's not important whether you have Jesus on your car's dashboard, but it is vital to know he's living in your heart. He isn't plastic, he's powerful. He's not small, he's infinite. He's not a good luck token. He's the risen Lord of time and eternity. That's our Savior, friends. And so we who are Christian believers, we know that Jesus is the one for us. Jesus is Savior and Lord for you and for me. I hope for everybody here. He's not plastic Jesus. And when we encounter him, we must be saying, like this song says, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all unto Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. That's what we need to be saying. All to Jesus, I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. All the joy of full salvation. He died to give us salvation. Glory, glory to his name. Will you sing the chorus with me? We all could start it, right? I'm going to start it deep. I surrender all. I surrender all unto Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. We'll sing the last verse. It'll make us get there. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus, blessed Savior. I surrender all. Amen. When we encounter him again during this Lenten season that begins with Ash Wednesday, let us again surrender to Jesus, all to Jesus. Amen. Thanks be to God.